brethren are very considerate. Thank you. Turn to the book, please, of Philippians. The book of Philippians and a few scripture references there. We heard something about the body. I was enjoying recently in Philippians something about the mind. And so I would like to share it with you. It is a very comprehensive term used frequently in Philippians throughout. It has to do with our consciousness, our perception, our thoughts, and so on. There's a lot just summed up. There's actually a variety of words in original Greek that are used here, but I would like to just take it as we have it in our English translation and think of our mind. How important. Scripture speaks often of a sound mind. Titus 2 and verse 6 says to be sober-minded, self-controlled, and that word is picked up and used in relation to legion, out of whom the Lord cast those many demons, and he was sitting there, how's he described, as sober-minded. He was in his right mind, clothed and so on. So that's the word that I'm picking up on here in Philippians. And just, I thought often of that beautiful, the beautiful words of that hymn we sing at times, let the mind of Christ my Savior live in me from day to day by his love and power controlling all I do and say. Maybe those lines might sum up what is on my mind, and I would like to speak about the mind of Christ in a particular way. Now, a few verses just in each of the four chapters, and this is how it appealed to me. In chapter 1, I thought about the gospel mind. In chapter 2, we come to that, I thought about the humble mind. In chapter 3, the mature or the perfect mind. And in chapter number 4, I would like to speak about the peaceful mind. So let's see if we can discover some of those verses now. The gospel is a great theme throughout the letter, throughout this letter, the gospel, and there's frequent mention of the word gospel 6 times or so right here and at the start. And so I'll look, please, at verses in chapter 1, verse number 3. Chapter 1, verse number 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making mention with requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Down, please, at verse number 12. Verse 12, but I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which have happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. Now verse number 17, please. Verse 17. But the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. Now finally here in chapter 1, verse number 27, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Chapter 2, please, and just now in chapter 2, the humble mind, reading, please, at verse number, chapter 2, verse 2, chapter 2 and verse number 2. Fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, please, in chapter 3, a verse, maybe just a single verse in chapter 3 and verse number 15. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, mature, be thus minded. And if anything else ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Now, finally, in chapter 4, and just a single verse, verse number 7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, please, just moving back to chapter 1 and try and trace some of these thoughts. First of all, the gospel mind. It must have been a great day when the gospel came to Philippi, the city of Philippi. And you could read about that back in Acts chapter 16, the gospel coming to Philippi. Some time ago, there was a group of believers. We were meeting in the home, and some of them had gotten saved. Most of them were from the Middle East families. And we had gone through the book of Romans in a Bible study together. And they said, well, where should we go next? And it was decided on Philippians. So I remember, I said to them, maybe just before going into Philippians, we should go back to Acts chapter 16 and think of the gospel coming to Philippi. And the converts there, you remember Lydia and the jail keeper and others that were saved there, and how they were baptized. And it was interesting, most of them new converts, and as soon as the word baptism came up, there was just a completely upset to the whole reading, and there was a whole lot of discussion that I couldn't tell you about because it was in a different language, and they were just arguing and going after one another, and I was the center of it, and it all had to do with the simple step that followed upon hearing and receiving the gospel, believer's baptism. And I come away from that, and I remember going home and saying to my wife, I said, I think that some of them are just a whole lot convicted about baptism. What they were doing, they were going back to their christening and so on and trying to just cover with that. But you know what came out of that? A whole lot of them just lined up and obeyed the Lord in baptism within a very few months. And it was a great day of rejoicing, that was for certain. So those early believers were baptized. And I could just stop there a moment and say, now you found salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you been obedient to him in believer's baptism that would follow? Maybe some are saying, and I just, you learn, don't you? Only a few weeks ago, we had a baptism maybe 2 weeks ago at Saskatoon, and there was one individual that we went to visit and found out as to her salvation, that we was sure of that. And when the topic of baptism came up, she says, I would sure like to be baptized, but what do I do? What do I say? Now, this was a person, what shall we say, from the outside that had come in, and she didn't hardly know who to ask or what, and here she wanted to, in her heart, she wanted to obey the Lord in believer's baptism. Yes, some mightn't just know the steps that you sort of take. You just make a request. Make your request known to some individual, and that individual can pass it along or process it, and you could follow and obey the Lord in believer's baptism. Very simple thing, and a simple act of obedience. Well, here is the gospel then, coming to Philippi, and Paul stood for the furtherance of the gospel. He just rejoiced in that. And although he ended up in prison, he says, I'm in prison, but I'm thinking of the furtherance of the gospel. And Paul would rejoice in that, because even in the prison cell, he would be a witness and a testimony to the guards he might be chained to. And one guard, the guards would change, and he would relay the gospel message to them. And so he was rejoicing in the furtherance of the gospel. And he says, you know, in verse number 27 here, he says about our conversation, our whole conduct, our whole lifestyle should relay something of the gospel. And we should be a testimony in the gospel. He says here in verse number 27, he says, stand united. He says, strive together at this. He says, with one mind, maybe more literally, one soul, one heart and soul in relation to the gospel. And beloved, do we stand? Oh yeah, individually now, but now collectively, do we stand? And our desire is to see the gospel furthered, home territory, and abroad, the spread of the gospel. How important. And they had one mind. They were united in this here effort. I had a note many years ago from a reading from A.P. Gibbs. And he says this about the gospel. I share it with you as I pass on. He says, preach the gospel and nothing else. He said, preach the gospel and nothing more. And thirdly, he said, preach the gospel and nothing less. Preach the gospel and nothing less. Have a complete gospel. Preach the gospel and nothing more. Have a simple gospel. And he said, preach the gospel and nothing else. Have a pure gospel. And I'm glad for those brothers and sisters. Sunday school right up the line. And they have a genuine interest in conveying the message of the gospel in all its simplicity, in all its totality in the message, the person, work of the Lord Jesus. So that is a mind to the gospel in chapter 1. Come to chapter 2, and this is most precious, because the whole focus, well, a great deal of focus in chapter 2 is upon the Lord Jesus and being like-minded. And I just put it down as a humble mind. How do you describe this humility? Well, it is a consideration one for another. I can see that in it. It is a love that is self-sacrificing, again, thinking of others. It is a servanthood, a servant attitude, and all that can be seen in chapter 2. And we have those wonderful examples in chapter 2. First of all, you have the Lord Jesus Christ. And what is said about his humility? Let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. This one who was a high and lofty one. Yet, brothers and sisters, this one that stooped, and it's often pointed out in chapter 2, the steps downward that the Lord Jesus Christ took. In all humility, humbled himself, obedient even to the death of the cross, our Lord Jesus Christ, self-sacrificing in his humility and going to the cross. God exalted him. God lifted him up. God has given him that name that is above every name, our Lord Jesus Christ. And so here's our Lord Jesus Christ in chapter 2. He's an example in humility. Mention was made already. John chapter 13. The humble attitude of our Lord Jesus Christ when it came to a very practical thing in that day, the washing of feet. And when the other disciples weren't prepared to do it, the Lord Jesus Christ was and did it. And stooped down and washed the disciples' feet. This one who came, what does it say? I came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, to serve, and to give my life a ransom. And so he did. The downstooping of the Lord Jesus Christ, the humble mind, and let this mind, beloved, this attitude, one toward another, be found in each of us for his name's sake. So he gives those others examples. I just quickly mentioned in chapter 2, again, he speaks here. I'm looking at verse number 17. I'm thinking of Paul himself as an example of humility. He says about being poured out as a drink offering. Oh, he could think of their sacrifice, and it might be great and wonderful. It might be the that of the saints. It might be the whole burnt offering they consumed. But he says, I'm just happy to be a drink offering poured out on your behalf. Thinking again of your service, the humility of the Apostle Paul. And then Timothy likewise is mentioned here in verse number 19. Paul said, I have no man like-minded. What's this like-minded? Again, it's the mind of Christ. It's the mind of Christ who would serve. And Timothy was another example of one that served the saints. And then finally, he refers to Epaphroditus down here at the end of chapter 2. I'm looking, his name is mentioned here for us in verse number 25, verse 30. For the work of Christ, he was dying to death. He just spent himself for the fellow believers, didn't he? I tell you, brothers and sisters, would we lay ourselves out for others? And that would be the humble mind. Coming to chapter 3, just that one single verse in chapter 3. As many as be perfect. I take the word perfect as mature. Here's the mature believer. Be thus minded. Be thus minded. Again, something of the mind of Christ. Mature. Fully grown. Brought to completion. The mind. And the mind of Christ. I can see it in chapter 3. Laid out in Paul again. You know, Paul said here in verse number 8, he says, putting all else aside, laying every weight aside, and all things that, what does he say? I'll just count them as rubbish for the sake of Christ. Give all those things up to honor and to follow Christ. And what verse 9, found in him, not having mine own righteousness, but that which is through the faith, righteousness which is of God by faith. Oh, that was his delight, found in Christ. Knowing, verse 10, again, the mature mind of Paul, he says, know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. That was Paul's whole As he ran the Christian race. That's what it is. Verse number 14, he says, I press toward the mark. Oh, he was thinking of what? Thinking of the finish line. And he just, the outstretched runner, just pressing toward that mark. And here we are, beloved. This is not our home. Like Abraham long ago, look for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And we anticipate that day. Would we have the mature mind of Christ? And again, of which Paul was a great example, as he, what shall we say, gave everything else up for the cause of the gospel and for the sake of Christ and for the interests of other believers. Oh, you know, I just, you don't mention names and all that, but you know, I could just think of fellow believers, and they've just lived their life for Christ and have gone before, and they're a great example, steadfast, unmovable, abounding in the work of the Lord today, tomorrow, and into the future as we depend upon our Lord. Finally, over the page here, just a word. In chapter number 4, it's speaking about the peaceful mind. When I started in chapter 4, you know, it talks about these two dear sisters, and they had to be addressed in this way. What does Paul say? Verse 2, he says, I beseech. Oh, the tenderness of it all. Two sisters seem to be at odds, strife of some kind. They didn't have that mind. They didn't have that mind, that peaceful mind I'm going to speak about. He says, two sisters, Euodias, Syntyche, that they be of the same mind. And how's that possible? In the Lord. Be of the same mind in the Lord. And then we come down to our verse number 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep, shall guard, as soldiers on watch all about you, shall keep in mind your minds, your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God passeth all understanding. You can't explain a situation and yet to have peace about it before God. Maybe not just carrying everybody else with you. That's not it. You have peace in your soul about it. And so you take those steps, and God will honor it. It's what does the prophet Isaiah say? It's like that perfect peace. Thou, Isaiah 26, is it verse 3? Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Mind stopped at Christ. Oh, the mind. Peaceful mind that can be the believers. You know, I love to think about the peace offering. Maybe just aside, but you know, all the offerings, Leviticus, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You know, the centrality of the peace offering there. And you know, the peace offering is a communion offering. And you share in that. God shares in it, others share in it, you share in it in the peace offering. May you experience that peace at heart and peace of soul. Coming over the road yesterday, we had been listening to some audio messages. It's a tremendous, I hadn't thought of this until what was said by Kim Fo. Now, I don't know. That's going back a generation, is it? I think 70, 74 maybe. And the bombs came down on Vietnam. And maybe you have the picture of that young, just a young girl escaping that in flames, on fire. Anyway, she gives a tremendous account, Fire Road. But a great salvation was wrought in all that. In fact, she would record and say, the bombs brought her to Christ. Tremendous testimony. She became a convert and living in Toronto and reaching out in so many different ways. Anyway, one day she had a phone call, and it had to do with being an ambassador. Oh, she said, I couldn't be an ambassador. I couldn't, you know, politics is out. It was an ambassador of peace, an ambassador of peace. When I listened to that yesterday, I thought, oh, well, maybe it fits here. An ambassador of peace. And that woman, God gave her a husband, God gave her two fine children, just remarkable miracles of the grace of God. Anyway, she became an ambassador, and she reached many a person in high places because she went to these conferences and she gave testimony, tremendous testimony to the working of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God. You know, tremendous thing to sit down as a family and just to listen to that recording. It's pretty lengthy hours, but it's most encouraging. I'm going to leave it with you. The mind. Oh, Satan would like to get our mind. somebody made a reference, I think, yesterday. The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. But the mind of the believer, the mind of the believer. May it truly be, beloved, for his name's sake, a gospel mind. The furtherance of the gospel. It's our commission to go. And then may it be the humble mind as we think of the attitude of others and Christ the great example. And may it develop into a maturity and be a fully developed, mature mind, the mind of the believer, for his name's sake. And may it be a peaceful mind. And may we just continue by the grace of God and for his name.